Whiskey for my men and beer for my horses.
They're trying to get me to quit, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to say 05.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I way off?
I'm way off. You're not even the right decade. The best Reba McEntire movie is definitely Tremors.
Wait, Reba McEntire was in Tremors?
Two main characters in Dumb and Dumber. The character names, not the actors who played them, but what's the character's name?
So I get the runner over, I'm like, hey, take Toby Keith to Captain D's. And the runner's like, what? And here we are. We're easily distracted.
Look at us. Easily distracted.
How you been?
I've been doing well. I've been okay. How are you?
I'm good. I worked today in another city and drove in. Really, I was going to go somewhere else, and you know what I said? I went, no, wait, we're going to film our first podcast, so I need to get back to the office, to the setup.
I work in the same city every day, so tell of two lives.
I really wanted to do one in January. It's like I feel like we've already failed, because I was like, we need to do one every month at least.
Start in January.
And it's February.
Now it's February.
Do we need to, so we just need to do more?
You know, I think, you know, sometimes there's anticipation, you know, maybe it just helps the build up, you know, if we, oh, they didn't come out with a podcast in January. Who's thinking that? Nobody.
But
it's the thought that counts.
Oh, my God. I can't believe a couple months ago we were sitting around working on songs and just haphazardly use like, and you know, I'd like to do some kind of weird podcast and I was like, let's do it for sure. Let's do that.
Yeah, because I know a lot about nothing.
Exactly.
And I thought it'd be great content.
And I said just a minute ago, let's shoot for 20 minutes. You said, I'm shooting for 45.
Yeah. Because, you know, out of that 45, there might be 10, 15 minutes worth of good material.
Yeah. Should I have music in the background, like in post? Should I have like...
Like right now?
Yeah, like in the background real low while we're talking, or no? I'm asking.
No, I think you do the intro music and then you're in.
Straight in.
We're just carrying it with our conversation.
Okay. I mean, that works. I just, yeah.
But hey, you're the producer, so you do what you like.
I'm nothing. This is Easy Distracted with Reenie and Tony. Capital R.
I just listen to podcasts every day of my life. I don't know anything about the industry or.
Man, we listen. So, do you listen to podcasts at work? Do you like on the down low, like put in an earbud?
No, I have to think too much at work to even have anything going on in the background. So, it's always on my commute. So, I at least, or my trip's at least 20, 25 minutes. So, I can get a good half episode in. But actually, a lot of them are 2 hours. So, it's cool because I can like have one 2 hour episode last me, you know, Monday through Thursday.
Oh,
and then
true.
I've got other things I subscribe to, so it's like just three shows fills up my week pretty good. So
that's pretty good. I go up to see Tabor, and it's like a 4 hour drive, so I put in, you know, I get a couple in. I do what is the one? Smartless. I mean, that's kind of my go to. I listen to the
I've done that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just random, there's like a couple music ones. But, you know, I always feel weird about listening to a podcast from somebody who says they can tell you the secrets to make you a success, but then they're not a success.
I fell for that one time 10 years ago. It went on a podcast. It was like, you know, the clickbait on Facebook. Like,
yeah,
listen to this. Or watch this 15 minutes later and you'll be a millionaire.
Well, yeah.
There's something about investing strategies and
oh man,
I followed it. Penny stocks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So
I've done that.
I'll never get that $5 back.
I got sucked into like seeing YouTubers or Instagrammers, you know, saying, you want to get 100,000 followers or you want to be, you know, this and that, do these my seven things. And I go look and they've got 600 views. I'm like,
yeah,
what? That doesn't work.
What's going on in the world, man?
Well, there's some crazy stuff. There's some crazy stuff attached to a couple different things. For one, the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm not, you know, go sports. I'm not that guy.
Yay, sports.
But you know what? When I was a kid, I used to love the 49ers. So I was like mildly, you know, amused to find out the 49ers were in the Super Bowl. So I was like, oh, this is cool. This, you know, makes me think of, you know, when I was like 13. Yeah.
Well, when I was growing up, 90s, that Dallas Cowboys were the America's team.
Right.
That was the heyday for them.
But they went to the Super Bowl.
Well, I no, but I'm just saying, you know, when you're a kid, you latch on to these sports teams. Mine was the Dallas Cowboys. I had the whole outfit. I'm pretty sure I wore it to school once, even the pads and the helmet.
Hey, do you remember the helmets that people collected? The little, they were like, I mean, you could wear them, and they were like plastic, and they had all the logos on them, and you could put them on.
Yeah, I had like a Cincinnati Red one.
Yeah, yeah. Baseball. Yeah, they were baseball hats. I remember that now.
Baseball. Baseball. Is that?
Or the Reds. That's baseball. Anyway, did you watch the whole Super Bowl? Did you like sit down? Was it an event? You had people over?
No, I was watching commercials and halftime show, and then it would take a break from that and show some kind of football game. Yes, well, I watched the whole football game.
Me and Terry watched that. We watched the whole thing, too. And, I mean, it's whatever. It's rigged is what I heard. That's the takeaway, right?
Rigged's not my word. Mine's predictable. I do watch a lot of football. Mm-hmm. But I was, the Friday before Super Bowl, I was telling the guy I worked with, you know, Kansas City's going to get down in the first half, but they're going to come back in the end and do it's the like same thing they did last year.
It does sound like a produced story, though, right? I mean, not that I don't think it's rigged. Let's just get that straight. I don't think it's rigged, but it is kind of like produced. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about anything sports to really have a valid comment at all. But I do have, you know, I did watch the halftime show. I look forward to that. What was your what was your thoughts?
Well, I did have the Confession CD. When it came out, I bought it. And I don't know why I did. I bought it because it was like really hyped up, and I guess I wanted to be cool. So I was like, I got to have the Confessions album.
So you were an Usher fan?
No, I just bought the album because it was cool. There was a few hits I really enjoyed off of that, but you know, I wouldn't say I'm a Usher enthusiast and could tell you everything about his discography.
No, I didn't know any of the songs except the one that, you know, at the end there. I forget what it is now, but and then the one. I forget.
Yeah.
Is that the name of it?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
With Lil Jon.
Is that who that was? I thought it was Lil Wayne.
Yeah, it's old Lil Jon. You know Lil Jon, right?
No. I knew Ludacris, so there's that. I think that was everybody's highlight. You know, I guess because I'm old, Ludacris isn't like vintage to me. Like, it's like Ludacris, oh yeah, it was the other day. But everybody was like, oh my God, it was so cool to see Ludacris again, you know. And that was my, you know, when I was in college or those kind of things. But
same.
You know, I did that, I did a show for Ludacris the other day in West Virginia. And I say the other day, it was like last fall.
Oh, okay.
And I did like video stuff for him, and he showed up and all his, you know, his crew and everything, and they were super chill. And they had the crowd going insane. Everybody there in whatever town in West Virginia that was flipping out. And there was about 6,000 people there. It was outdoors. And cool. He worked the crowd like within an inch of its life. Like he knew everything to do. Here's something that was kind of cool, though. He came in and was going to do, this is like insider stuff. This is for real. So he came in. He came in and his people were like, he has another show tonight in Alabama. So we're like.
The same night?
Yes. And they said he is doing a hard cutoff at 9 o'clock. Let's say 9. I think it was 9:30. He is a hard cutoff at 9:30. I've changed it now. It's 9:30. And no matter what, he's walking off the stage at 9:30. And we're like, you know, okay. So there, he's got his buddy with him, evidently, who's helped him write songs since they were in high school together. And they're just rapping. They're doing the thing. And he's like, you know, turns around and tells the DJ to do something. And he's like, they're trying to get me to quit, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep on going all night. And we're like looking at each other. And he's like, we're going to do, you know, and we're like, I know he's quitting at 9:30, but at 9:11, he was like saying, they're telling us to wrap up. Like,
he was like, trying to get ahead of it or preempt it. Like,
yes.
You don't want to be, appear to be uncool, right. You know, quitting. at
9:30, you know, it's like a big concert. But so we were like cracking up, like, what is going on? That's funny. Is he going to go longer? And the guy beside him is like, no, he is walking off the stage at 9:30. So it gets up 9:27, 9:28, you know, and we're like looking, I'm like, there's no way he's right in the middle of this song. He's going to go all night. And man, I tell you what, it was like 9:29. He had the crowd going, they were jumping, and he turned to the DJ and he was like, play him something. And he walked off the stage. He went down the stairs and he got in a car and they left.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Nobody knew the concert was over. Like, the whole crowd didn't know it was over. They thought he just walked off, and the DJ is just going crazy, getting them all hyped. And then the DJ just, like, starts chilling, you know, and plays a couple more songs. And
so it goes on for, what, 20, 30 minutes?
It goes on for...
like 10 o'clock, probably?
Before 10. I mean, it was, like, maybe 10 more minutes. And then it was just, like, boom. The DJ was like, peace, and turned everything off. And so he jumped on a plane with the main people and took off. And then his crew, wrapped everything up. And
wow.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That's weird.
Cool, though. He did it great. That was perfect. But anyway, that's my little tangent. That's my ludicrous story for we were talking about the Super Bowl.
well, appreciate that. You know, I always enjoy your inside stories. Inside the stories.
There you go.
Of arena.
An old man.
Logistics.
Working in, yeah, that's it.
Usher, halftime.
Yeah.
I seen it.
And I ask you your thoughts. What about, I've got opinions, but like overall, where does it lay in the top 10 of halftime shows you've ever seen?
12.
Yes, I thought, okay, first off, I think 80-90% of everybody was really singing, not performing, but really singing, because it was there was some pitchy moments and there was some bad microphone placement moments, you know.
But I did notice there is still so much background vocals happening. It's like He's just adding to it.
Yeah, he's singing with himself
at any time, and it doesn't take away from the flow of the song vocally.
Yeah, totally. When it first came on, I mean, I felt like there was a front of house guy like working his butt off, freaking out, because it sounded very dry. It sounded like a board tape for a split second when his vocals did. And but you know, the girl that was playing the guitar, that's her name, H-E-R. She wasn't really playing. She was just miming her solo.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the nature of the beast when you're in the middle of a stadium and it's all echo. I get that. I kind of get it. I felt like back in the day, like Tom Petty really played, right? Surely.
And I feel like that's why they're getting away from the bands. I mean, I would love to see more rock bands up there. I feel like ever since the Red Hot Chili Peppers thing where they were unplugged, basically.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yes.
They've kind of like, you know what? No more bands.
There is no more bands.
It appeared to be Usher had a, you know, a back line and a band, but they were all like kind of blackened out.
Yeah.
Very shady back there. Who knows if they're playing.
And they're playing along, you know, and a lot of the times those kind of things, like before that day, like yesterday, the day before, they play the whole thing and record it. So they make sure they get a perfect take. And then the next day, they play that recording and play along with it. I mean, who knows what they did. I get that you can't, maybe you can't do everything live, but, you know, there was a lot of slow songs. That was kind of weird. I think it should be all like, bum, 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 you know, just should be hype and crazy.
You're talking about for Usher, there was a lot of slow songs?
Yeah.
I mean, R&B is kind of his thing, and I guess that's the feel of a lot of his songs, you know.
Alicia Keys. Isn't it weird, though, that they're always, like, have you noticed the trend that there's not her, she's relevant and brand new, but, like, every time you need something to really happen, you pull from like bands from 15 years ago.
Isn't that,
I mean, because I guess just the, I don't know. Can you imagine some TikTok trendy band nobody has enough material to do a greatest hits. I don't know. I'm just ranting now.
You mentioned the Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
Now, that was actually the highlight of the halftime show for me because of the piano.
Yeah.
Now, at first glance, I was like, wow, they've got this beautiful molded piece of artwork and a digital piano, you know, laying in front. But really, it was like a plexiglass see-through on top, and there appeared to be piano strings on top.
I didn't even notice. That's
cool. Full-on acoustic piano. And it looked really good.
I think she was really playing because at the end she did the little trill where she, you know, does the octaves, and she hit a bad note at the end. Did you hear that? And she looked up you know, she was kind of like,
oh. She had my full attention because I was trying to figure out this piano. I was like, is this real? Is this digital? What's going on? So she played it, and by the end I was like, this is definitely a real piano, and I'd like to have one in my house.
That halftime show, one of the bottom on my list, even though I'm not going to say it was horrible, but it didn't have the pizzazz that, you know, the other ones.
I agree. And as far as halftime shows go, I've seen, you know, you can't believe anything you hear in half of what you see, especially on social media. So I thought I seen a post about, it might've been talking about last year's Super Bowl performance, but they rolled the stage out. And somebody drove something over the two major power cables. They severed them, and somebody had to stand there and hold them together.
No way. There's no way.
Yeah, that's a big no way.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other kind of point of that story is you look at the comments, oh, man, that's awesome.
Oh, I know.
Can't believe he held that together like that. Through the whole performance.
Well, listen, there's always going to be people that just believe the headlines, never do the research. And I don't know. But so, you know, that actually is the first Super Bowl from beginning to end I've watched in years. So, you know, with everybody just streaming, I didn't really, usually I don't even have a Super Bowl probably. I don't know.
I just watch highlights on social media.
Yeah,
I found out about it. Well, did you watch the first ever, wasn't it Michael Jackson, 1993?
93?
That was the first hopped up Super Bowl halftime show entertainment performance.
You know, I can't really remember if I watched it live or just a memory of it makes me think I did, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That wasn't the first entertainment one, but that was the first like super hyped like, oh, this halftime show is going to be something.
Well, I thought I had read. I'm not prepared for this, but based on my recent research, because Super Bowl, you know, I always go down the rabbit hole when things are happening. The prior to '93, the Super Bowl, their halftime was not really. As it is today, or like has
a marching band doing.
Yeah, a marching band, just random stuff.
I didn't know.
And what would happen is other networks would like have specials during that time.
And they were like, we're losing viewers
to steal the viewers during that. Like, tune in here during the Super Bowl halftime. Why are you waiting for the football to come back? You know,
that's pretty
tune
good.
Into this channel. Yeah. And Super Bowl, NFL folks, whoever, whatever network has the Super Bowl. That time was like, we got to do something about this. So, 93, let's get the biggest pop star on the planet, like, Michael Jackson.
Let's call that youngest Jackson 5 guy. I think he's got a hit.
Yeah, that one little kid.
Yeah.
And I went back and watched it, and it's amazing how the same kind of elements and feel exist today. But actually, that show was way better because it was the first, people are going nuts, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he incorporated the whole audience. They had the, like, colorings, you know how they put color T-shirts or color paper in the audience.
Bluetooth.
There was a visual happening, and, it's Michael Jackson. And,
the moonwalk.
He did the moonwalk, you know. Yeah.
Was Diana Ross there?
No, I didn't see her.
I thought she popped up for something.
No, but he ended the set with "We Are the World," and that's when all the audience held up.
Classic
images of
did it make like children. Africa or anything like a picture of Africa?
There were a world of worlds were there. They were different nations represented in the
it's good stuff
on the field.
I'm living it through you, even though I'm probably watch it.
You should definitely look it up. It's amazing.
I was like, how old was I in 93? I mean, I was like somewhere. I was old enough.
Let's keep that off the record.
Well, that's pretty good. So the Super Bowl happened. What is it like? Super Bowl 49? No, it's the 49ers.
I forget.
Yeah, I don't
know. 50 something, right?
Yeah.
But my favorite would have to be what a lot of people's are, and that would be Prince.
Prince. It's hard to beat what he pulled off. I mean, right?
It is.
I mean,
in the rain, what? I mean, he was singing Purple Rain in the rain.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
That's magic.
Yeah, yeah, that was one for the books for sure. That was really good. You know, speaking of those, I watched, you know, like the rabbit hole. So I watched, like, remember when the Super Bowl was country? And then there was like a country one with like Tammy Wynette or somebody, you know, like that, and Travis Tritt and all those people. And they were all out there at Boots Scootin' Boogie Inn and all that.
I'm sure that was the, like I mentioned before, the 90s Dallas era, you know.
Yeah, probably was. Sure when
90s
when,
country, you know.
I know, 90s country.
That was the thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's good. Speaking of 90s country, do you think the 90s country is the best era, like, of Absolutely. Country?
Absolutely.
Better than the 70s? Better than the 80s? I mean, I hear people say that a lot.
Well, for me,
that's a hard
one.
I have to go with it. Yeah, yeah. The guys.
A lot of it can be generational. I mean, if you grew up around it, well, it's a lot of nostalgia things for folks that grew up around that kind of music.
I'll tell you what.
For me, 90s kid.
I think it was the heyday. I think that's a good word for it. It was the heyday when there was big hits and big tours. Because, you know, like Waylon Jennings and those guys, they were still kind of, you know, let's go down to Mickey Gilley's and play, you know, that kind of thing.
But
back then, that was like, you know, people were like doing arenas. And that's when women in country, you know, really kicked in.
I'm not going to lie, I'm a Shania Twain fan.
Man, have you seen her lately? She's a stick.
Yeah.
She looks like she's 60 pounds. Oh, yeah, you went and watched her.
I went and watched her at Louisville.
Man, that's...
Now, I went in with certain expectations.
Right.
And I just feel like I was at least hoping to see 2012 Shania Twain.
Post...
Instead, we got 2023 and...
What is she, like 60? Was she phoning it in?
Like 58, 56, probably?
Yeah,
I don't think she's 60 yet.
I'm going to see.
You go see. But I felt like it was either the mix or this was by design that when she would sing, especially when it got to the chorus, I felt like Shania was singing the lower harmony and somebody else was taking the lead.
I can see that, man. She's 58, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, her mic was so loud you could hear in the verse, and then the chorus comes in. My ears hear her drop down to the lower, and there's no other female on stage. But I hear multiple female voices. So it's either track or somebody's off stage.
Did you get a t-shirt?
No, I stood in line for it, and I was like, you know what, forget this.
Yeah.
Man,
if you'd have showed up here at the studio in a Shania Twain t-shirt, that'd have been the greatest day ever.
Well, I'm sure you can get them on Amazon.
I was at Cracker Barrel last night after doing a setup, and they had Dolly Parton t-shirts, and I was going to get one. It was just like 70s Dolly, huge, of course. They didn't have my size. We'll just say that a bunch of.
Well,
I guess they were just selling them to women. I don't know, but
that's not fair.
Yeah, I know. I was going to wear one like so much. Can you imagine me walking around with a huge 70s Dolly Parton picture?
Yep.
That would be great. Well, let's see what else happened musically or non-musically. The Grammys, right? That was last week.
Grammys, is that a thing?
Yeah. All I know is, like, for the last 5 years, I see a headline, Grammys, lowest numbers ever. You know, less people watch them than ever before. Or is that the Oscars? I think that's the Oscars, actually. Nobody watches the Oscars.
What's the Oscars?
Yeah. Oscars, Tonys, Grammys, man. It's so everybody can pat each other on the back.
Well, I'll just tell you, the reason I tuned into the Grammys, Tracy Chapman.
Really? I mean, I knew that was going to be a thing. So you were like, I want to hear Tracy Chapman do that one song.
Yeah.
With, who's the guy?
Luke Combs?
Yeah, Luke Combs.
Yeah.
Was it awesome? I've only watched, like, clips. I didn't.
Yeah, because there's, I think ever since he covered that song, there's always been a, you know, chatter about, is Tracy going to acknowledge, or is he going, or is she going
right.
to,
do a duet?
Or yeah. They going to, you know, collaborate? Do you know when that song come out, Tracy Chapman, when she wrote and released that song?
Oh, let's see. It's
like a wild guess.
It's a weird era. I'm going to say 05.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I way off?
You're way off. You're not even the right decade.
Oh, 95?
No.
What? When was it?
I think it'll surprise you. 1988.
You are kidding me.
Look it up. Look it up.
88? That's when I graduated high school.
She came out with an album in 88. I can't remember.
How did I not know that? I mean,
that had Fast Car was the best track off that album, gave her stardom. And then she followed it up in, I think, 94 or 95, in the heyday of 90s pop music, with Give Me One Reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was her follow up album that had that hit on there. But Fast Car, 1988.
Dang.
'05. And when I read that, I was like, wow, she was kind of ahead of the curve. That 90s feel.
Yeah.
Pop.
Yeah. She was bringing it in.
Rock. Yeah.
Dang,
oh, and
man.
Let me give you another quote from Luke Combs after the Grammys. Because I'm always interested in details.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, now that they have got together, well, actually before that, like, how does an artist go about covering somebody's song? Like, what all did he have to go through? And it seems like depends on which song it is,
yeah,
determines what the process is. Because I was reading an article. I was searching, like, Luke Combs, what did he have to do to, you know, get this song, put it on his album? Turns out he had been playing it as part of his live show and then put it on his latest album. But in the article it says, Luke says, didn't have to seek approval from Chapman, since he adhered to the very, very specific list of things he could do or couldn't do. What does that mean?
Well, when I've covered songs before, you have to hire a company to go do their due diligence and get a release to do the song. Now, super famous people can just, like, have their people call their people directly.
Yeah.
But and some people can just say no. You know, like Led Zeppelin is bad for that. And if you call and you're trying to do a Black Dog or something, they can just, you pay the money and the lawyer does the thing and then they come back and go, nope, declined. So there's different, like, people will say you can cover my song, but it can't be on commercials, or you can cover it live, but it can't be, you can't change the chords. I mean, people can put all kinds of specific things on it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that same article also quoted Tracy Chapman of saying that rap artists all the time were contacting her to sample her music, and she would flat out refuse, just no, all the time. But then
a country artist.
The music. I don't know. But it's like he went through a third party, or he was playing it the way he was playing it, or the frequency was, it's like it was within this, you know, set of rules that exist in Nashville or the music world. And because, like, in that same article, Tracy's like, oh, I found out my song was number one that Luke Combs is doing. It's like she had no.
Yeah, just because her publishing just let them do it. You know, she's got a whole company that does her publishing, and
that's just me digging into too much information that has no bearing on my life.
That's cool.
But
I have to say, I didn't watch an ounce of the Grammys, but I heard all the, you know, the hubbub.
Yeah.
I wanted to see, you know, like Tyler Childers and Chris Stapleton was up for the same things, you know, and of course, you know, Jesse and those guys, you know, I saw their post and those kind of things, Tyler's band. And so I was like, well, you know, I hope maybe they get a grant. Not maybe. I hope they get a Grammy. You know, that would be super cool. But I saw they were against Chris. I mean, he's a juggernaut, you know. And, like, well, he's from our area, and they are from our area. So I'm like, well, it's cool. But, yeah, Chris won. And let me ask you this, because this was intriguing. Chris won Best Country Song. Chris Stapleton won Best Country Song. And he won Best Country Solo Performance. What's that? What's Best Solo Performance? Is that a one single performance? Or how do you get a Grammy for solo performance? Is it because,
like,
that...
Is it a live setting? Is that what...
I don't know. I was just looking at it. I posted it, you know, like, all the winners, and I saw that, and I was like, Best Country Solo Performance, Chris Stapleton. Best Country Song, Chris Stapleton. So, I was just...
There is nuances to those awards. It's like, how many ways can we give out an award, basically?
Well, like, what's Record of the Year and Album of the Year?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, because I know now. That killed me.
Yeah.
I didn't watch all of the Grammys because you get wore out pretty quick.
Yeah, but I'm sure.
I made it up to...
Probably long as the Super Bowl.
I don't know how long I made it up to, but I was in and out, I guess. But I was like, Record of the Year, Album of the Year, what's up?
Exactly.
Record of the Year focuses on the technical and engineering aspects of the album, or of the... record, whereas Album of the Year is more about the musical aspects and performance of the music.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
So, Miley Cyrus got Record of the Year. Taylor Swift got Album of the Year.
That was her first Grammy. Not Taylor Swift. Miley Cyrus. Yes.
I mean, she was exciting. I mean, excited. I don't know what. Oh yeah, the Flowers song. But I don't know. You know. Mm. Man, that Lainey Wilson Country Album of the Year, you know, she was just in our town, and we just worked a show with her, and she was an opener, you know. She wasn't even the headliner of the bill, and now she's won a Grammy, so that means, you know, her price doubled, and she's going to get to headline, you know, this year, so that's kind of crazy.
Cool. Yeah.
But, so anyway, that's our take on the Grammys. I don't know. I've been wanting to talk to you about that anyway, because I figured that you would know Record of the Year and Album of the Year. I just felt like that was a rainy thing.
Yeah, because you're watching it, and I'm like, what? What?
Exactly. Like, record, is that album? A mistake? Is that a mistake?
We don't use this interchangeably?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Record, technical. Album, performance.
Yeah. The Grammys is when they always play that super sad video of, like, everyone we've lost this year, right? I mean, they always do that. I mean, I didn't see it, but did Toby Keith pass away after the Grammys or before?
That was before.
Was it before? I don't know. But that's kind of crazy. I mean, Toby Keith, he's not in the era. He's in the 90s era. He's that 90s country that everybody talks about. And, you know, I always thought he did that song, My Baby's Favorite Color is Chrome. And it's not. That's like Trace Adkins. I didn't know that.
Well, Toby Keith for me took a while. It was a slow burn for me. At first, I just was turned off. It's like, I'm not into this at all.
Yeah.
It was almost annoying. But it seems like as I got older and understood that his formula was comedy and patriotism, it's like, wow, that's kind of up my alley nowadays, seems like. But, he did the Beer for My Horses.
Beer? Beer for My Horses?
Beer for My Horses.
Yeah, I don't
Beer
know.
For My Horses, and that's a song, but that's all I ever known it to be as a song. But you know, it was a movie.
What?
Look it up.
Like after, like,
oh wait,
the song.
Oh, there's an earthquake.
The song that he wrote turned into a movie, or there was a movie and he wrote.
He
a song
did the
about
movie
it?
And wrote it for the movie. Oh, I believe.
Man. Wait, it's he was in the movie.
Like,
no,
yeah,
I'm going
him
to
and Willie
Google.
Nelson. Yes.
Wait, who are we talking about? Oh, yeah, Toby Keith.
Beer for My Horses. They won't even show you the song first.
Easily
first
distracted. Dude, he's been in a ton of movies. Did you know that? He was in the 2000 Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, yeah, like cameo appearances.
Yeah.
He's like a character, a feature person in
Beer
like
for My Horses,
one movie and one show, I think. Isn't there a series in 2006 he was in?
I don't know. Broken Bridges, 06. Beer for My Horses, 08.
Beer for My Horses is a movie, right?
Yeah.
Is Willie Nelson in it?
Oh, let me see. I mean,
beer this is where you put like this dude. Split screen with a picture of the movie, right? Is this how you're going to do the...
Wait, I can do this right here. What about this? I can do this because of technology.
No, you can't. Not happening. Oh, there it is. I can hear you. I can't see you, though. It's covered up by a web page, you know.
Yeah, but there, if I go to that, I haven't got it set up to be able to comment. And what's the use if I can't comment? But but listen, yeah. Who's in that movie? Toby Keith as Joe Bill Racklin. Joe Bill Racklin.
Hey, Joe Bill Racklin.
Joe Bill Racklin. Rodney Carrington's in it. Ted Nugent is in it as Skunk. Barry Corbin. Oh, that's he's not a singer. Willie Nelson. Gina Gershon. Dude, you're right. Beer for My Horses. Oh, wait. It gets a 4.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
But, hey, it showed his willingness to explore different creative avenues.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was in, like I said, six or eight. One, two, three, four, five, seven different things that are listed under his movie credits. I've got like two. I got a hilarious Toby Keith story.
Let's hear it.
You got a minute?
I got a few.
All right. So, you know.
Are you going to tell the story or not?
Yeah. In my line of what I do, I've worked with Toby Keith a few times. First of all, I worked the show, the infamous show in Kentucky where he jumped off the stage. You know, at the guy and got in the big brawl. And do you remember that? The whole ruckus?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, so I don't know. Toby says he has no idea what happened, but some guy up front just took his beers and poured them all over the stage and just threw his beer bottles, flipped him off, and grabbed his wife and started leaving. Like Toby must have been. Maybe Toby was eyeing his wife too much or something. And the guy's like flipping him off the whole way out. I'm out of here. And Toby's singing and he's looking at the guy. And then Toby's just like flipping him off. And then so yeah. Toby walks to the edge of the stage and he's like still singing the song, you know, I'm with him. And he's like, and then Toby's bass player comes up behind Toby playing bass, and he's like, and he's just like, yeah. So anyway, Toby jumps off the stage. He jumps off the stage, which is, you know, 5 feet. He jumps off the stage, runs up the steps, grabs the guy like by his collar and puts his head on his head. And he's like, and you know, nobody knows what he's saying. And he's just like, and the security guards, you know, they finally get up there and they get Toby. Yeah, and they surround that guy and get him out of here, you know. And Toby climbs back up on stage and he's like, starts singing again. And he's like, sorry, guys. I don't know what that guy's problem was. He just poured all his beer out on my stage and flipped me off.
Oh, man.
And but here's the crazy thing. Suppose, you know, during the time of the show, they were like, the police come and got that guy, you know, and we never heard. That guy is anonymous. Nobody knows who he was at all.
It was part of the show, I'm afraid.
Here's the thing. Now, I'm totally putting this in, all right? This is just like, I don't know what the word is, but like a conspiracy. This is just, okay, so Toby's personal manager never went on shows, all right? Toby's representation, you know, there was a tour manager and so like that, but his personal manager, well, we got word that label people, personal manager, all these people were going to be there tonight, and it was a big, you know, a big deal. And so that happened, too, and the guy disappeared. Nobody knew him locally. Nobody had ever seen him before, and he got ushered out. And there was never an arrest made. I mean, we did look that up with the city, you know. No arrests were ever made. But Toby went nationwide the next morning. Toby jumped off the stage, you know, and there was, like, defending a lady or, you know, there was all kinds of different things. But the next morning, it was, like, nationwide news that Toby lost his cool and jumped off the stage during the show. So, I'm not saying, but anyway.
I ain't the one of gossiping, so you didn't hear it from me.
But that's not the funniest thing for that night. I got another piece. There's another part of this story. So you know, we're doing the show, and it's the sound check's over. The tour manager comes up, I kid you not, and goes, hey, we have any runners available? And runners are the people that sit there all day until somebody needs something, and they literally jump in their car and go get it. I mean, I've had runners go all the way to, like, West Virginia, another state, to pick up, like, clove cigarettes for the guitar player for Stained. You know, that kind of thing. Or just go, like, so-and-so wants, you know, 8 cases of beer and 20 pizzas. Go get it.
Got it.
So the guy comes up and goes, hey, do we have a runner? Toby wants to go eat at Captain D's. And I was like,
Captain D's, please.
You want a runner to go get some food? And he went, no, he wants to go to Captain D's.
Go.
And yeah. So I'm like, what? So I get the runner over there. I'm like, hey, take Toby Keith to Captain D's. And the runner's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, take Toby Keith to Captain D's. Well, what am I going to do? I said, sit out in the car. I don't know. You know, wait for him to eat. I said, I don't know. Toby gets in the car. They go to Captain D's. Toby's like, don't sit out here. Come on in with me. So my runner goes in. Toby orders a 3-piece catfish dinner. They sit down there. The runner's there. And Toby eats. I kid you not, he eats a 3-piece catfish dinner. And I was like, asked the runner, I was like, did you eat? No. I was like, what'd you do? I just kind of sit there. But, you know, he's like, Toby talked and stuff. But anyway, so Toby ate a 3-piece dinner after sound check of Captain D's, and the runner brought him back, and he did his show.
Yeah, man. I mean, you got to eat that stuff fresh. You cannot take that home.
What kind of, I mean, Pifle would have lost their mind if they had known that Toby was just sitting there eating, just chilling. I mean, Captain
at the
D's.
End of the day, he's a regular guy that's got to eat every now and then, you know. And
but I mean, they had catering. They get him anything he wants. He wanted Captain D's catfish,
well,
man.
Today, I want Captain D's.
But anyway, so that's my Toby Keith story. What do you think?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Pretty good one.
I felt like there was a missed opportunity for Captain D's to get on board, man. That manager, if he had known, I mean, he could have took some pictures. It could have been, there still could be a picture there.
Yeah, that's definitely a lost opportunity. Whiskey for my men and beer for my horses.
Oh, do you actually remember that? Do you remember the song? I don't remember
the movie. I know I remember watching the music video, which I think took clips from the movie.
From the pictures there, it looked like he was a police officer or something, like a deputy. He had like a gray uniform on. Or maybe he was like a dog catcher. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what movie I watched the other day of a country singer? It was cheesy and low budget, but also just like, okay, I watched it, you know, 99 minutes, and it was fine. It was a Reba McEntire movie.
Oh.
Yeah, she's like a new one out.
What's that one called?
I don't know, but she was a judge.
Okay.
And her real-life husband was in it and was the bad guy. Isn't that pretty cool?
Okay. The best Reba McEntire movie is definitely Tremors.
Wait, Reba McEntire was in Tremors with Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
I just don't have the recall, man, to remember that stuff.
Oh, man.
I mean, here's the thing about me and movies. Like, I watched Tremors probably the year it came out, and I haven't watched it since or thought about it. Like, I'm not one of those TBS Saturday, oh, remember that movie? Let's watch it, even though it's got a bunch of commercials, mm-hmm. and they made it full screen and cut the edges off.
Yeah, which reminds me of a segment we got coming up.
What is it?
Tony's Trivia. Only I'm asking the questions. Can we stump old Tony
with some
basic knowledge of universally known movies?
Well, we'll do that because it's embarrassing. Maybe we won't get into it too deep.
Oh, come on. We're laughing with you.
Listen, it's not as bad as it used to be because I've caught up with some of the movies that everybody's watched but me, I guess.
Well, while I'm thinking of it, my favorite all-time country superstar makes a movie.
Yeah.
Is George Strait Pure Country?
Never watched it.
Oh, it's a classic. It's got a great story. He's, you know,
you like movies.
He's playing a musician. It's almost like a reflection of his life on the road.
I remember that now.
And there's a love story involved.
What's his name? You know, it isn't like Dusty. Ironic, is it?
I think it's Dusty.
Dusty Crooked.
Dusty something. But, you know, he's at the peak of his career. He's got this like goatee and mustache that he later shaves off to get the classic George, you know, Dusty. But anyway, he quits the tour, tells his drummer, like, man, I got to take a break. So his drummer kind of knows what's going on. The tour manager brings in a replacement. And so there's that whole dynamic and weird thing. And finally,
if you want to watch the movie,
I'm not going to say anymore.
I mean, is it worth watching, really? Like, should I watch it?
It is, absolutely.
He doesn't die at the end, right?
No.
Okay. I don't want to watch those. I can't watch it.
I'm not going to say anything at the end because I want you to enjoy it. He doesn't die, though.
Wait, what's the name of it? I'm going to put it in my notes. I kid you not.
Yeah, it's Pure Country, 1992. Western Romance.
All right. It's in my notes. I'm going to watch it.
Put it on your list, man.
And we'll I'll rate it next podcast from 1 to 10.
Let's stick to the movie category. Okay. All right, this is where you got to play the music.
Okay, I'll put some in post.
All right. Okay. Trivia with Tony. Tony.
Yes.
Can you answer these basic questions? I tell you what. Here's how it's going to roll. We're just going to focus on one movie at a time, and I'm going to ask general questions about the movie that...
Like one movie this probably, week and one movie
like
next
90,
week?
Okay. 98% of people have watched this movie.
Of every person.
Actually, 99.9% of the people in the world have watched this movie.
Okay.
The movie is Dumb and Dumber. Now, have you watched it?
I have not watched Dumb and Dumber.
Okay, you're...
I think you froze there.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody else in the world knows the answers to these questions. I'll actually give you multiple choice. That way, you know, it kind of gives some content and you can take a stab at it.
I mean, I might get these.
You might recall some of this just from, you know.
Well, I mean, before you start, I want you to know that when I was playing music and had a front of house guy that traveled with us, he worshiped that movie and continually quoted it. All day, every day, no matter what we said, if we were going to talk about dinner, he was quoting that. So I'm going to have some. Okay. I'm going to have some quotes.
So you might have some secondhand knowledge of this movie.
Yeah,
that's great. Right.
Go for it.
Okay, who are the two main characters in Dumb and Dumber? The character names, not the actors who played them, but what's the character's name?
I had no idea. I mean,
okay,
do this.
Harry and Lloyd, B, Jeff and Bo. Or C, Jim and Carrie.
Well, I know it's not C. Jeff and Harry and Lloyd sounds like, isn't that a movie with, the movie with, I think Harry and Lloyd is a movie. What is the movie like? About
when
Mel?
Harry met Sally? What are you trying to get to here?
Oh, that's what I was thinking of, When Harry Met Sally. So it's not that.
No.
Jeff and Bo.
A, Harry and Lloyd. B, Jeff and Bo. Or C, Jim and Carrie.
It's not C. I mean, I'm not stupid.
Mm.
And then, wait a minute. Is Bo Bridges one of the guys in it?
No.
Well, you said Jim and Carrie, so I knew Jim Carrey's one of them. But so the other one's not Bo Bridges. I feel like he would be a good one, though. It's got to be the first one. I'm just going with the first one, Harry and Lloyd.
Ding! Cue up the dings. You got that one right.
Yeah.
Good guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jim and Carrey. I got this.
Who directed Dumb and Dumber?
Okay. I probably am going to get this right.
A, Martin Scorsese.
Oh, yeah. It's multiple choice.
Yeah. A, Martin Scorsese. That's it, right? B, Quentin Tarantino. C, the Farrelly Brothers.
Wait, is that it? Okay, I was going to say the Coen Brothers, so it's the Farrelly Brothers. Boom. Got it.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good. Next time we'll try the Coen Brothers because you won't remember this anyway. Okay, here's an important question. What is the destination city that Harry and Lloyd are traveling to?
Colorado. Wait, that's a state.
City.
A city. There's tons of snow and mountains. Not Colorado.
Where the salmon flock. Yeah, where the women instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano. That's it.
Is it a city in America? Can you give me that?
Colorado is in America.
Colorado is a state.
Yeah, you are close. You're in the right state.
What is that other town, Boulder? Boulder, Colorado.
I mean, that's a good guess, but no.
I mean, it's not Colorado Springs.
So you already know the state, so these multiple choice won't help you. New York, Las Vegas, or Aspen?
Well, Aspen.
Aspen.
Okay. I mean, I'm two out of three.
You're okay. You know, that secondhand knowledge served you well. Two more questions.
All right.
What item prompts Harry and Lloyd to travel across the country from Rhode Island to Aspen, Colorado?
Wait, what?
What item prompts this whole adventure? What item is it?
Okay.
Position. Is it A?
Oh, yes. God, I keep forgetting that.
A?
Yeah.
A ransom note. B? A briefcase left at the airport. Or C? A suitcase full of money.
See, if you hadn't given me multiple choice, I would get these
wrong. The fact
wrong.
That you can't just knee-jerk, just immediately answer this.
Well, I was going to say that truck that's shaped like a dog. That's what I was going to say, but now that you've given me those, I'm going to say...
Well, went question number five.
let's see. Did you say a briefcase full of money?
A suitcase full of money, a briefcase that was left at the airport, or a ransom note?
It's got to be the full of money. Really? A ransom note? Just two a briefcase. X's. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
What's funny is Mary, the leading lady, has her husband is kidnapped and held hostage, and she's leaving the briefcase in the airport for the captors to pick it up at the airport terminal. But Lloyd sees it after he's dropped her off from a limo ride, and he runs in, scoops in, takes the suitcase as the to
like she
criminal.
Forgot it.
Yeah. And he goes, "Hold that plane." And he, you know, tries to get her on the airplane, and the airplane's not there, so he falls out of the jetway again.
Wow. Which one's do you say Lloyd or Harry?
Lloyd. Harry is Jeff Daniels. Ha. Lloyd is Jim Carrey.
Okay.
It's their names are Harry Dunn and Lloyd Christmas.
Lloyd Christmas. Oh, that's good. See, I remember because Daniel used to say this all the time. He would go, "This is important. You might want to hold on to that," or something like that.
He must be a good big fan because that's an obscure quote.
Oh, listen, he quoted
these are IOUs. You might want to hold on to that one. That's for a Lamborghini. 200,000.
Yeah. So
200,000. Can't remember, but yeah.
Okay. I did pretty good.
Yeah, you did okay. Here, let me do one more, okay?
All right. Yeah, lay it on me.
Cool. So you mentioned the dog van.
Yeah.
What does Lloyd trade the dog van in for?
Well, I know this. I already know it. You don't have to multiple choice it. I'm just going to say
what
it.
What is it?
Moped.
Judges?
Is
that... Judges? A scooter. Ding, 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 ding.
And that's just because I've seen that movie with the snot. You know, I mean, I've seen that scene with the snot, you know, like a million times. But I did
got
not
kinda
know
nippy
them.
On the back in there.
What?
Got kind of nippy on the coming through the pass there, didn't it, Harry?
See, that bounces off of me. Yeah, man. Okay. All right. So I thought I did pretty good.
Yeah, you did okay.
I'll be honest, though, man. I don't know if I can go back and watch it. It's just sounds so. Not that I don't like stupid movies, but
no.
I think it might be dated. When did it come out? Like 95?
No, it is solid up until now. I mean,
it. Let me see.
Dumb. From here on to the future,
Dumb and Dumber.
It will be in the Smithsonian one day.
I'm gonna watch one of these two this week. One of these two. It's probably going to be Pure Country, but.
Well.
I made notes.
Okay.
Because you're going to help me through this, and I'm going to watch all the movies that everyone has watched, and I haven't. But I there's not many left, because I've caught up.
Don't not watch Dumb and Dumber. I mean, that you have to do that. You have to experience that movie from beginning to end, and just appreciate.
It'll have to be when Terry's not around.
The lightning in the bottle that is Dumb and Dumber, thanks to the Farrelly Brothers.
Farrelly Brothers.
And after you watch it, you may realize there's been conversations around you that it was like a foreign language.
Right.
But now it's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
You know what people are saying around me now.
And hey, we did a thing. We did our first Easily Distracted podcast. What do you think?
I know. I'm so proud of myself.
We actually hanging in there with you.
Yeah. As my daddy always said, it was real, it was fun, but it wasn't real fun.
Maybe next time it'll be real fun.
Maybe next time it will be real fun.
All right. Let's do it again. See you, bud.
Let's do it.
Peace.
I love this music.
Can you hear it?
Nope.